Please, sir. I want some. More?
More?
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
And Jan's back. Jan's back. So you know what that means, listeners. We've got to talk about football. Yes. None of this. None of this meandering off into the murky world of TV rights, like we did last week. Terry, it was quite fun talking about the TV rights, wasn't it? And Big Number Nines, obviously. We talked about Big Number Nines as well.
If I had my own football Substack, it would be just about TV rights and Big Number Nines.
It was very on brand for you then, wasn't it, last week?
I thought so. I think that's what I'd call it. I'd call it Football TV Rights and Big Number Nines. I mean, not a catchy Substack, but very niche, though.
Mm.
And that's what they say. If you want a successful Substack, you have to find your niche.
Mm. Find your niche. Well, that would be
so niche. Listeners, if you want me to write about TV rights for football and number nines, hit up Graham on the old socials.
Yeah,
don't hit me up, Graham, up on the old socials, and let me know.
Isn't Channel 9 a sports channel in Australia?
Channel 9? It is. Yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
So that's the name, Channel 9.
I hope it still is. I just remember Channel 9 from when I was growing up and watching cricket highlights would always come on and they'd be by Channel 9.
It would have that cool dots.
Yeah.
3x3 dots.
I think they were the ones that invented the little cartoon duck walking off the screen.
I think you're right.
Jan, welcome back. This was the level of the conversation that we had last week. You would have hated it. You really would have.
Yeah, good that I missed it. Just listening to it back now. I'd miss the conversation on Big Number Nines, but I very much look forward to Terry's Substack on the subject.
Well, yeah, because if we had talked about Big Number Nines, you would have just got on for 20 minutes about Niall Quinn, wouldn't you?
I would have, yes.
Which would have been fine.
Because he is big and he was also a number nine.
Yeah.
So there you go.
We did briefly touch on Marco Gabbiadini, didn't we, Terry?
We did. We did. But only on the way to Chris Coleman as a makeshift number nine. So you'll be pleased to know, Jan.
That's good. I couldn't talk about it. I can't even utter his name, obviously, because of what happened. So
the racial slur.
Yes. Well, listeners of old will know exactly what happened there. If not, it's somewhere in the back catalogue, listeners. You'll find it somewhere. It won't take you too long.
It won't take you too long. Yeah. Just over a decade's worth of podcasts sit through, listeners. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Trawl through all 450 odd episodes that Jan's been on and you'll soon find it. But anyway, so I did say we're going to talk about football this week, and what we're actually going to talk about where the leagues are at the moment and about whether or not there is anything left to look forward to in the Premier League season after the weekend's results, because this weekend Arsenal lost. Arsenal, the closest competitor to stopping Liverpool from racing over the hill. Liverpool did the double over City at the weekend, won at the Etihad for the first time since 2015, and now look set to cruise to the title this season and then lose their best players. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe that's something that will keep the conversation going. But also at the other end of the table, Leicester lost hopelessly at home to Brentford. It looks pretty set down at the bottom now that the bottom three are going to remain the bottom three. So what else do we have to look forward to this season? Is it really just going to be who qualifies for Europe? Yeah, and that's not going to be a very exciting end to the season, is it?
Well, you wouldn't think so. But actually, when you look at some of the names that are involved in the fight for some of the European spots, it does make it quite interesting. I mean, we talked already a couple of weeks ago about Bournemouth and how well they're doing. And if they were to manage to finish in the top five, Bournemouth could be in Europe, and that would be wonderful. And of course, Forest potentially were looking like they're going to have to work hard not to finish in the in the top four. Although I suppose it's getting a little bit tighter for them now, but they could be back in Europe, and you know, former European champions. So it's it's quite interesting.
Yeah, that game against Newcastle at the weekend was an absolute cracker. And were it not for like a mad 10 minutes where they just conceded all the goals, Forest really should have got something out of that game, I think. They went in at half-time 4-1, having taken the lead. But absolute cracking game that was. And I was glad it was in the box set.
It's mad, isn't it? Because if you were to say Forest went to Newcastle and got three goals, you'd be like, that's incredible. How did they do that? They really are back. But of course, the full story is far more interesting. But yeah, it was a mental game. But it's good for English football.
Looking at Forest's schedule, they do have some tricky games, but winnable games. I mean, they've got Ipswich coming up. They've got Arsenal up next, which, you know, that's on Wednesday. So that's difficult to say. I mean, could be ha ha ha. That'll be a nice, easy 3 points for them. Ho ho ho. But title contender Arsenal, obviously Ipswich in the cup, but then City, Ipswich again. Man United, they could consolidate themselves quite nicely with that. Those are quite winnable games. It does get a little bit trickier with Villa and Everton after that. But it has been great to see Forest resurgent. And partly this is nostalgia, but also because it's nice. I mean, they are a proper football club and it's nice to see proper football clubs doing well. And yeah, it's someone different up there. And they play some very, very good football. And I'd say they play it in a way that's very, very appealing.
Oh, certainly. And you saw in the performance on Saturday that they've got fight as well. A lot of teams that are going 4-1 down at St James's Park would probably just try to minimise the damage, wouldn't they, Jan? But no, they took it to them and got very, very close to getting an equaliser at the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that could have wrapped up at 4-4, couldn't it? It's great to see Nuno doing well because his copybook was blotted when he was at Spurs, of course, but he's proven that he's a top-class coach, so good for him.
Nice use of the word Spurs as well, of course, because as we know, broadcasters have been directed to not refer to Tottenham Hotspur as Tottenham anymore. Either Tottenham Hotspur or Spurs. Have you not heard this?
No.
So this was reported in The Athletic. Tottenham have written to broadcasters and other media outlets and requested, I'm surprised we didn't get what you didn't get one, Graham, an email, requested that we not refer to them as Tottenham anymore. Their preference will be Tottenham Hotspur or Tottenham Hotspur FC, or to abbreviate THFC, or just Spurs, but not Tottenham.
Right.
How about Ange Postecoglou's Tottenham? Can we call them that?
Well, they didn't specify, but I'm going to say that probably not. But I mean, I'm not certain to what extent independent podcasts are, you know, included in this edict. But nevertheless, I do think it is quite funny because, of course, it completely cancels one of Tottenham Hotspur FC's most famous FA Cup songs.
Oh, yes, of course it does.
Yeah, we're Hotshot Tottenham Hotspur FC.
Or Tottenham, no one can stop them. But stop immediately. How dare you sing that song? That I assume that song's now been cancelled.
No one can stop them. Well, yes, the brand department of Tottenham Hotspur FC, they can stop them.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Do you realise now that we'll never utter the words Spurs or Tottenham Hotspur ever again on this pod? Yep. It's only ever going to be Tottenham from now on in.
Does that mean we have to say they're Tottenham Hotspursy?
Yeah, or Tottenham-y. Yeah, we'll have to finesse it as time goes by. I thought that was quite amusing. In other walks of life, this is quite normal, but obviously it's Tottenham.
Tottenham, you say?
Yes, Tottenham.
Obviously, Tottenham won't have anything to say at the end of the season. They're not going to get into Europe, are they? Mind you, they've just won their last three games on the spin. Maybe they've turned a corner. Maybe they're going to make a late run for the European places, because European places could go down to eighth place this season, currently occupied by Aston Villa on 42. That's still a long way to go, 9 points to close there. But maybe catch up with Chelsea. Chelsea are in a real rut at the moment, 9 points from the last 10 games. So do you think that there is a possibility that someone from that mid-table is going to have a say in Europe?
Well, shall we have a look at the table and see who's in the middle table there who might make that? I wonder, could this be the moment? I mean, Palace have got a bit of a way to go to get in that Conference League slot, to be fair.
They are level with Tottenham, aren't they, at the moment?
They are indeed. Tottenham's route back into Europe, I would suggest to you, is going to be by winning the Europa League.
Yeah.
Which I'm not ruling out.
No.
Because they think they are actually joint favourites to win the Europa League. So that is a completely doable thing that could happen. And that would be very funny.
And if you're going to have a change in form, then this is the time of year to have it, isn't it, really? Like getting to the latter stages of cup competitions, always, always good to have an uplift in form and players coming back from injury. So that's probably where their focus is going to be. I'm thinking more about Brighton and Fulham getting into Europe next season. Right, Fulham, right, well, we could all remember the days when they were getting to European finals, because that wasn't that long ago. That's not like, you know, the grainy standard def days of Forest getting there. This was actually, when was it, 2010?
So it was Atleti they lost, was it?
Yeah.
We did a Socrates event for the final. So it was a while ago, to be fair. So yeah, still very much HD, but not many HDs. Still quite a lot of SD going on.
2-1 against Atleti, and now's the time for their triumphal return into Europe. Marco Silva leading them into Europe. Or else we could end up watching Brighton in Europe, which I'm not sure people want, really. I mean, like, they're basically in Europe anyway. They're that far south, aren't they?
Mais oui.
I think that's how it works down there. Yeah.
I'll tell you, that's exactly what it is. I mean, we're all French down here, so yeah. This is basically northern France.
So it is just these European competition things that we've got to look forward to. Liverpool aren't going to buckle now, are they, Terry?
Well, they might, but it is going to be some buckle. It's going to be injuries and horrific collapse in form. It's very difficult to see, after what happened at the weekend, Arsenal being able to make up that kind of ground unless they're being given an awful lot of help by Liverpool. It's not out of the question. Extraordinary things do happen in football, but this would be truly extraordinary. So while I think it's always unwise to say, oh yeah, Liverpool will definitely win the league, I do think that Liverpool will definitely win the league.
What about the bottom of the table, Jan? Is there going to be any miracles for the teams down there? Not Southampton. Now, Southampton pretty much down already, aren't they?
I was surprised. I hadn't seen that they only had 9 points, which is awful. That is a terrible, terrible display. They deserve to go down. Wolves are coming good, aren't they? They've had a couple of wins of late. That's enough, really. They're 5 points clear of Ipswich, who are third bottom. Leicester, as we've already said, are gone. Wolves could get pulled back into it, but really, I think the bottom three that we've got now is the bottom three that I think will ultimately go down. Makes you wonder, is it really worth getting promoted to the Premier League?
Well, you've experienced seasons like Southampton with Sunderland, haven't you?
Yeah.
Barely getting to 20 points. That's a long season, isn't it?
It is. It is a long season. And it's bad enough for the fans. But I mean, if you're a player in a side that, you know, went up strong, and I'm not just talking about Southampton, you know, any of the teams that went up, you've gone up on a crest of a wave. Everything seems so positive, and then you spend the next 9 months just being hammered. You know, it's probably an entire podcast in whether it's worth being promoted into the Premier League, because what type of season are you going to have when you go up there? It's so tough for them. But I don't really have much love for any of the clubs down there. So, you know, fuck them.
And of course, Sunderland will be going the other way anyway, won't they? They'll be going up in the playoffs, won't they?
Well, I mean, thankfully, Sunderland are addressing that particular issue by starting to fail to win games. So they're obviously seeing what's happening in the Premier League. But I mean, yeah, I mean, if Sunderland do go up, I think it would be through the playoffs. They're not going to get automatic now, I don't think. But yeah, you know, to go from a team that lost at Hull in a god awful match on Saturday to expect them to compete against Tottenham, for example. You'd have to replace half of the team, or improve half of the team, I should say, to stand any chance of finishing 17th. That's why I just prefer the Championship. Should just cut it off there and just make the Football League just a closed shop. Let the Premier League do their own thing.
Whoa, controversial.
That will be the marquee poor quote for the episode. Jan says, get rid of promotion and relegation.
Pull up the drawbridge.
Pull up the drawbridge, yeah.
Pull up before the drawbridge, says top football podcaster.
Yeah, Luton might have wanted that, mightn't they? They have a great season up in the Premier League and now look like they're going to go straight down into League One. That's got to be hard to take, isn't it, Terry?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a Luton fan, yeah. I mean, for everybody else, it's brilliant, to be honest. Yeah, it could be a case of flying too close to the sun, I suppose. Obviously, Luton have had a very troubled story over the years, and then their rise through the leagues after having, you know, dropped out of them and almost really having nearly dropped out of business, you know, in the last couple of decades is extraordinary and inspiring. And in all seriousness, you know, a lot of people have worked very hard and should be congratulated for that. The worry is, and I think Southampton should be a little bit worried about this as well, is that if you just lose so many games, so many times, that you just like forget how to win. And I think that there's an element of that's happening with Luton, I suspect. There's a lot of stuff going on in the background in that club as well, with the new stadium. So I don't know how much of the money that they made from the Premier League is being ploughed back into their off-the-field stuff, their infrastructure, which ultimately in the long term is what you need. As things stand at the moment, Luton are actually a third-tier club, really, if you look at their stadium and squad size and that, and they've done extremely well to get to where they are. And I'm sure they will be back again because they have shown resilience in the past. But right now, it must be incredibly difficult for those fans, especially after having experienced Premier League football, albeit for the most part. Not completely. I mean, they beat Palace last season, didn't they? I remember that was annoying. But yeah, it's been a miserable couple of seasons for them.
Hmm.
Is it worth it, lads? If you were given that opportunity, said, like, we'll give you one season in the Premier League, you'll be rubbish and you'll be relegated, and then you'll be relegated again, but we'll give you that. That's the trade-off. What would you take it?
Well, no, because you're telling people to have two shit seasons, aren't you?
Yeah.
When we've seen in the past, they've stopped doing it now, but Fulham and Norwich used to swap places, didn't they, in the league. They did it for about four or five seasons, didn't they? And it just got a bit of a joke, didn't it, where teams would come up, they'd have a great season at the top of the Championship and then have a terrible season at the bottom of the Premier League and go back down again. And Palace did it as well.
Yeah.
Only in this period where they've been in the Premier League now for, what, 12 seasons now, is it? Now, I think?
13, 14 seasons, something like that. Yeah, it's mad.
But before that, they'd only ever stayed up for one season, hadn't they? And,
yeah.
But not been in that much danger of going down further. I mean, back in the day, and yeah, it did happen.
When we got relegated back in the 1970s, we went down twice.
Yeah.
When we first got promoted in the 60s, we stayed up for four seasons. And then we were relegated twice. So that was harsh. But yeah, that's not happened since then. I mean, Sheffield United, I suppose, is the contemporary example, isn't it? You know, they're going to go back up again, aren't they? And they're probably going to go straight back down.
Yeah, they almost certainly are. And Burnley are going to go back up again. You would think anyway, but they're currently sitting in third. But if they go into the playoffs not conceding any goals, because like they haven't conceded a goal... Have they conceded this year? I don't know. They've only conceded 9 goals in 34 games in the Championship. And in the Championship, that's just ridiculous.
Burnley are not going to go up. And I'll tell you why they're not going to go up. They're not going to make it into the top two. And they're going to get knocked out in the playoffs, possibly by Sunderland, probably on penalties. So they will go through and be completely goalless, but they won't score. And they'll end up getting knocked out on penalties by someone like that. And we'll all have a good laugh at that. If they do go up, they'll just be relegated again because their great defensive record in the Championship won't amount to a hill of beans in the Premier League. They'll be worth absolutely nothing. If there are any of that back line left after the summer transfer window is over, they won't be able to adapt, I think, to the Premier League. And then they'll just go back down again. The only silver lining that there is of course, that Scott Barker will probably then move to Bayern Munich and win the Bundesliga. Because I think that's how it works now.
That is exactly how it works,
Tarek.
Yes, you're right. There is precedent has been set now. And this is the way. This is the way it must be from now on. And he will be 8 points clear at the top of the table with 2 months to go, won't he? Because like in the Premier League, the Bundesliga is all sewn up, isn't it?
Yes, pretty much. Last week, Bayer Leverkusen and Bayern Munich played in a big summit meeting. It was a 0-0 draw, and I was too busy getting very angry with football with Palace v Everton on the other side. But my understanding is that actually Leverkusen really could have won that game. As it happens, they didn't, and that kept the gap where it was. And then this weekend, Bayern played Eintracht Frankfurt and won 4-0. people are now saying, right, that's okay. We can pretty much close the doors on the season and assume everything goes according to plan. At least a title race, anyway.
Well, listeners, if you do want to see a title race that is actually quite interesting, then I would suggest having a look at Serie A. Serie A at the moment is very interesting, anyway. You've got the top three are separated by just 3 points. Inter are on 57. Napoli have made a game of it because they were generous to a fault. They haven't won in 4 games. They're still second, only a point behind Inter. They lost to lowly Como at the weekend. And just a couple of points behind them is Atalanta. None of them are in any sort of really, what you'd say, positive form at the moment. They're all just scraping the points together. So Juve could actually be back in the mix. They're only 5 points behind Atalanta, have won 4 games in a row, made a load of shrewd purchases in January and are back in the race. And La Liga as well. La Liga is even closer. Top three there separated by 1 point. Barcelona running away with it in the first half of the season, and then the wheels completely fell off their season. And now they're level on points with Real at the top and Atleti just a point behind. These are the leagues to watch, aren't they, Jan? Yeah, if you're going to shell out for the extra subscription, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is great to see big clubs vying for the title in such an open way like that. I mean, they're really worth keeping an eye on for the rest of the season because it genuinely is boring having one team just battering everyone and winning everything. When there's a real run-in, that's when the excitement is at its peak and there's no real jeopardy anywhere else. So, they're well worth keeping an eye on. I completely agree.
Well, I didn't ask you for your expert opinion on this because obviously you're as a Sunderland fan, you concentrate a lot on the Championship. So which of the sides do you think are going to get automatic promotion in the Championship?
It's going to be Leeds and Sheffield United as it stands already. Leeds, Sunderland played Leeds on a week ago, it was on a Monday night, and actually put in a really good performance against Leeds. But then in the second half thought it would be just a good idea just to keep booting the ball out and giving it back to Leeds, who then just kept coming and coming and coming. It takes a special team, I think, to push on like Leeds did right to the 95th minute looking for the winner. I think that's a sign of champions there. Yeah, Sheffield United, as you said, 2 points clear of Burnley. They're 8 points clear of Sunderland, who are in fourth. So, yeah, I mean, they're just two really good sides, and I think that they're going to do it, and the rest of us will scrap for the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Terry. I think Burnley are going to go in there with this great defensive record, and I think they're going to lose on penalties at Wembley to Coventry.
To Coventry?
Coventry?
To Frank Lampard's Coventry. I'm ready to start eating the old humble pie for the old Frank Lampard because I've not been his biggest advocate, I think it's probably fair to say. And I was disdainful when I found out that he'd been given the Coventry job. I appear to be massively incorrect about that. So there you go.
Well, yeah, over the last 10 games, only Leeds have gained more points than Coventry. They've got as many as Sheffield United have over the last 10 games, 22 points.
He's found his level.
Only a point behind West Brom and Blackburn. I think they're the ones, or have they made their charge too early, Terry?
Yeah, it's a good point, because we do love to see a team enter the playoffs in the last couple of weeks of the regular season, just squeeze in, because then the momentum carries them all the way through and they go, oh my God, we've been promoted by mistake.
Yes.
And you do love to see that.
Yes.
I think I'm ready to see Coventry back in the Premier League, FYI. I think it would be great, actually, as long as they don't do what they did last time they were in the first division and just stink the place out. But yeah, it might be that they peaked a little bit too soon and the Championship is so streaky. I mean, we're saying, yeah, Leeds and Sheffield United, but we all know that it's the Championship.
Yes.
And, you know, predictions mean nothing. No. Nothing.
No. The gods laugh when you make predictions about the Championship.
I think that's how, yeah. That's how that saying goes, definitely, yeah. That's the origin of the phrase, isn't it?
Yeah. God's laugh when we make Championship predictions.
Well, yeah, listeners, if you could do better on that, then good luck. No, it does have that potential of always in the Championship where you've got, I always think the perfect storm is where you've got one team that only just missed out on automatic promotion going into the playoffs and one streaky team that just had half a dozen good results at the end of it and then beating them in the playoff final because the team that missed out and finished third are just dead on their feet. I don't know how many times that's actually happened. Feels like it happens every 2 or 3 years.
Palace, we went up under Dowie, and who did we beat in the final? I can't remember. And that was the bounce back a bit. That was the origin of the phrase bounce back ability, because Palace were fourth from bottom. I also remember, of course, Palace narrowly missing out on promotion in the last day of the season, losing to Derby, who then got promoted. So it was a big playoff. We lost to Derby, and then we got beat by Leicester after extra time. I was round your house, Graham, and watched it on the television, and that was the final. It got to the last minute of extra time, and Martin O'Neill, the Leicester coach, substituted the goalkeeper for the penalties, which was unheard of back then. I was like, whoa, he's gone rogue here. O'Neill's gone rogue. What is he doing? And it threw us out. And they had a set piece from which they scored. And I'm sure it was because the Palace players went, the fuck is he doing? He's substituting. He's got, why is he doing that? No one substitutes the goalkeeper unless they're injured. It's the law. Of course, it isn't the law and wasn't the law. And it was just devastating. Steve Claridge, was it? I think Steve Claridge. My God, I'm so traumatised by that.
Well, let's not open up this whole thing of playoff angst, because Jan will just go off.
Yeah, Jan's got his fair share of playoff trauma. Yeah. You are so lucky, Graham, to have not had any of that.
I know.
It's fucking awful, mate.
I know. Well, my only experience of actually being in a playoff final is with you when Palace won at the Millennium Stadium. That was one. Course. So
it was West Ham. Of course, it was West bloody Ham, and we were there.
Yes.
Wow, that clearly was traumatic.
And I have a feeling West Ham finished third in that.
Yeah.
I have a feeling West Ham finished third in that season.
This is what memory does. Memory is always based on a true story, isn't it? So it's...
loosely, in my case.
Yeah, we can go back and check these things, but let's not...
this memory is inspired by true events.
So, yes... We have the playoffs to come and the battle for the playoffs. Yeah, it is a fool's game to try and predict it. And this is what Man United will have to look forward to in a couple of seasons, isn't it, Jan?
Oh, well, hopefully. Hopefully. I mean, annoyingly, they pulled back against Everton at the weekend, didn't they? And managed to get themselves a point. But the direction of travel is only pointing one way, isn't it, Graham?
Yeah, well, 30 safe this season. May not be next season. But yeah, if the bottom three were even mildly good, if they were sort of like... looking that they might get 40 points this season, then Man United should be looking over their shoulder, I think. But obviously, no, they've already got 30 points. I think that's going to be safe. I don't think anyone in the bottom three at the moment is going to get 30 points. I think it's going to be a very, very disappointing turnout from the bottom three, I think. But yeah, I mean, next season, if there isn't an improvement, or if things get worse at United... I know we've talked a lot about United, but that's because they're worthy of discussion, aren't they? Because there's so much going on there that is terrible, isn't it, Terry?
Yeah. So they're sacking more staff. Is it another 100 more
200,
staff?
200.
200 more staff.
Yeah.
And then I found out they've cancelled all the staff free lunches as well.
Giannis. Yeah, so only the players are getting fed now. At Manchester United, so the canteen is shutting down in an attempt to save £1 million, which
$1 million,
£1 million, which they have got.
Yeah,
the club may be losing money, but they have got lots of money. You know, it's
just sell one of the players that isn't playing very well for you, and they will be able to supply free lunches. You know, for decades. It's appalling.
It is.
I mean, yes, all right, fair enough. Some of you, if there are any Tories left who listen to this podcast, well done for sticking with us, by the way. Well done, you. You might be thinking, well, they don't give me free lunch where I work. And of course, you're probably right. But that doesn't mean that you can take stuff away. It's clearly been a benefit. How much is a lunch probably going to cost somebody, you know, per day? It's, I reckon, £5 to £10 per day on average for a lunch. If you go budget, something like that, go along to Tesco for a meal deal, you might get it for £3.50. It's a chunk of money that you're spending every day, and it's a real bonus if your employer gives it to you for free. Fantastic. It's a proper benefit, and to take it away is utterly scandalous. It's basically giving a massive pay cut to your staff, the ones that you haven't fired. It's a disgrace for nothing, for next to nothing, for chicken feed. And I mean, like the money they save by getting, albeit a part of Marcus Rashford's wages, off their wage bill, they would have been able to have made that shortfall up no problem. It's petty, bloody-mindedness. It's small-mindedness. It's not economic, and it's not good business, and it's lousy relationship management. What a disgraceful thing to do. What an utterly classless football club they've become.
I mean, if it was one of the bottom three that we were talking about who were going to plunge back into the Championship and have to make cutbacks on player wages and things like that, you'd kind of understand it. But this is Manchester United. Their turnover will be colossal compared to any of the teams that are going down. And they could quite easily, pardon the pun, swallow that.
Thank you very much,
Terry.
Yeah, I doubt whether 1 million is going to make any difference to their PSR problems. But it's just another thing, isn't it, for United? And it seems to be that every week something else comes out of Ratcliffe's handling of the club. I read somewhere last week about the fact that it reached a point where the Glazers had actually taken £1 billion out of the club since they've been running it. Whatever Ratcliffe is doing there really is just papering over the cracks, isn't it? And yes, Terry, I think if we do have it in any hardline Tories still listening to us, they've got to be those suckers for punishment, like a lot of Tories are. They might still be here, but they will be saying exactly what you said. Well, I don't get a free lunch. Yeah, oh, fine. But if you did, you'd moan about it if it got taken away, wouldn't you?
No, exactly. This is the thing. I mean, like, if it's part of your benefits package, even if it's an informal part of your benefits package, then it is. And it's petty.
Yeah.
And it's political. I'm not going to pay for these people's lunches. I mean, I realise that Jim Ratcliffe is not from Yorkshire, but that was the best I can do on the spare of the moment. I'm sorry.
I think that's how he probably sounds when he's annoyed.
Yeah, probably.
He's just coming across as this sort of like horrific Dickensian character and almost becoming a caricature of himself. And it's very difficult to take him seriously, were it not for the fact that he does seem to be doing a very good job of running, you know, one of the greatest football clubs on the planet into the ground, and one of the country's greatest cultural institutions into the ground, whether we like them or not. The reason for hating Manchester United is because they won football matches. Generally speaking, this is a club that historically has done the right thing, does the right thing by its players, does the right things by its fans, does the right thing by its community. And that seems to be changing. And that's the most worrying thing about the football club is that not only does it lose its Premier League status, but it loses its soul into the bargain. Then what is the point in that club?
Yes, the theatre of dreams, but they're not perhaps the dreams that you might quite like to have.
It's not the theatre of dreams anymore, is it? It's more like a portal into hell, isn't it? Which I don't think goes as well. It wouldn't look as good above the door, isn't it? Welcome to the portal into hell.
So we've made some breakthroughs here. So one, it's Tottenham, lads.
Yeah.
And two, it's the portal of hell.
Yes.
POH for short.
Yes. I hope someone's taking notes, listeners, because we'll never remember this. So we've had a whistle-stop tour of the leagues this week, so naturally we'll all be settling down to watch a lot of league football this weekend, won't we? Actually, no, we won't, because it's FA Cup this weekend, isn't it? So, yay! Even better. So, yeah, the fifth round back on the weekend, which is always nice, because they did have that thing, didn't they, for a couple of seasons when it went midweek, as well as no replays. But yes, it's back on a weekend, and there are some decent ties, isn't there, coming up this weekend? Terry, Palace are playing Millwall. Nice South London derby. How's that going to go?
That's going to be tense and unpleasant.
Yeah.
And Palace should win, obviously. We went a couple of years ago to the Den and we won in the Cup, but feels different. Be interesting to see if Roman Essie plays as well. He's the new signing that we got in the wintertime from Millwall. Yep, there's a lot of history between those two football clubs, and it's going to be a bit of a spectacle, a bit of a ding-dong.
And Jan, you'll be covering Plymouth's trip to City. That's the end of their FA Cup run, isn't it?
Well, I hope not. I hope not. It would be great if they took the scalps of Liverpool and Manchester City back-to-back in the FA Cup. It looks unlikely, but I mean, that's the one to keep an eye on, isn't it? Because if that goes the way we all want it to go, it's going to be some great watching. I don't think the Manchester City are going to put out their full team for that one. So there is every chance.
Magic of the Cup.
You got to believe, listeners.
You do have to.
Do you think the Plymouth players have been media trained by now?
Well, please don't use the F word
on live TV. Yes. Thanks. Please and thank you.
Yeah, they'll have to get Davina out there and say, you are live on TV, please do not swear. Yeah, and Fulham are making the trip to the portal into hell. Terry, you think Fulham are going to come away with a quarterfinal place?
Well, I think there'll be plenty miffed after having been turned over by Crystal Palace at the weekend. And kindest regards to Joachim Anderson as well while we're here. And that is definitely an away win for me, Clive. No question about it.
And yeah, Mags versus Brighton, Magpies versus Seagulls. Which way you think that one's going?
Well, I hope that Brighton absolutely destroy them. I mean, you know, it's... sorry, Terry. To be honest with you, we saw how good Newcastle are going forward. So it's going to be a tough one for Brighton, that one, I think.
Mm. Yeah, and you and I should watch that together and just go, boo, I think you boo. Should.
Yeah.
just boo at it.
Put it on YouTube. I want lots and lots of lovely reaction caps for that as well. Well, if you want to see what we think of all those games and the other ones that we've got in our box set this weekend, then get along to sofpodcast.com and click on the link for the weekend box set and subscribe to our Substack. And you will get it in your inbox on Friday lunchtime. And it's the 7 games we think you should be watching between Friday and Sunday. But that's all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton and from Terry DeFellin, it's goodbye.
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 Get in touch with us on Blue Sky or Instagram, where we are at Sound of Football, or go to sofpodcast.com. Like us, share us, rate us and review us. Do it now!
And don't forget to subscribe to my Substack.
Heheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheheh